right there is fine. But I have no objection from Judge Bauer or Judge Williams. I can vouch for your quality as lawyers, and we're pleased to have you as members of the bar. So go to the clerk's office, or clerk's bench, and be sworn, please.
In spite of your sponsor, I mean, I think it's a good idea.
First case for this morning is
very fast, Mr.
Menarich versus People's Gas and Light.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Jeanette Marinich, representing myself as pro se. I'm appealing the summary judgment order that was granted to People's Gas by the District Court, Northern District of Illinois, Eastern Division. And this is an employment discrimination case in which I have presented a substantial amount of evidence of which contains a genuine issue of material fact. I'm respectfully requesting that the Seventh Circuit reverse the summary judgment in its entirety and allow this case to go to trial. I was nearly a 30-year employee of People's Gas with an above-average work record when I was terminated on July 1, 1997. Starting in March 1997, some of my coworkers and I repeatedly complained to various executives at People's Gas about a newly hired black vice president, Desiree Rogers, discriminatory behavior toward Caucasians and Hispanic employees. Marcy Velez, age 43, a 15-year employee, Joe Perez, age 25, a 25-year employee, and I filed individual charges of discrimination against People's Gas with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Ultimately, Ms. Velez was replaced with a younger black female hired by Rogers, and I was replaced with a younger black female hired by Rogers. And the position that Mr. Perez never was considered for was filled by a younger black male hired by Rogers. My complaint in the district court consisted of age, race, and sex discrimination and retaliation. Key facts in my evidence included two discriminatory comments directed to me by Rogers May 5, 1997. Approximately 3 weeks after these comments, brand advertising, which constituted one-third of my advertising budget, was removed from me. Rogers testified that she did not know what duties I was performing, yet I was in advertising for 15 years of my 30 years of service with the company. And at the time of my termination, I was managing all of advertising. Though she said she did not know what duties I was performing, she claimed that I did not have the skills necessary to assume the position now responsible for advertising. Also, a flowchart created before I was terminated showed that the head of advertising was vacant. Months later, Rogers hired a young black female to head advertising. Human Resources had received complaints regarding Rogers' conduct at or around the time of my complaint from 8 different employees, none of whom were black. I knew Human Resources did nothing to resolve the complaint. Barbara Benchick, who was a representative of Human Resources, testified that she never informed me of the results of the investigation. She testified that she did not discuss with me the company's obligation to prevent discriminatory conduct once such conduct was discovered. No one at People's Gas ever assured me that the company would enforce its policy on discrimination if any discriminatory conduct occurred in the future. People's Gas forced me to report to Rogers or be terminated. This is where I am arguing constructive discharge. District Court ignored the evidence that was presented as indirect evidence to prove constructive discharge. I was a member of a protected class for both age and race. I was meeting People's Gas's legitimate performance expectations. I suffered adverse job reaction when People's Gas forced me to report to Rogers or be terminated. People's Gas dismissed my requested alternatives to reporting to Rogers. I repeatedly requested a transfer. I asked that a position be created for me, or I asked that an approved leave of absence be given to me.
If you had reported to Rogers, though, you would have maintained your salary, correct, and your position?
My position was, I do not know that, Judge. My salary, they never confirmed that, and I...
Well, no one ever told you your salary would be reduced.
They never told me that.
You reported.
Yeah, but I never asked about that. And as far as the position, Rogers testified that she did not know what I was going to be doing had I been transferred down there. But yet she said that I was not skilled to perform advertising duties, although I was in advertising for 15 years of my 30 years with the company, and I was heading advertising at the time of my termination. People's Glass did replace me with a younger black employee.
Didn't you just say that before?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to do it twice.
Okay. The question of whether a reasonable person in the same circumstances as the plaintiff would have felt compelled to resign is a question of fact. And the issue of whether constructive discharge has occurred is not well suited for disposition by the summary judgment.
Finished?
Yes.
You may be seated. Thank you. Barner.
Good morning. Rachel Barner for Appalee People's Gas. There's no evidence as a matter of law to raise a question of material fact. All we have is Appellant Marinage's subjective belief, and that is not enough. The district court properly entered summary judgment for People's Gas, and we will ask that it be affirmed. I'd like to just raise three main points about this case. First, Desiree Rogers was not the decision maker in Ms. Marinage's termination. The record is very clear, and the district court found that it were purposely removed Ms. Rogers from the decision-making process, that the executive vice president gave the approval for the termination if Ms. Marinich refused to show up for work, and that it was also in the record that both the vice president of human resources as well as the human resources manager together decided to write a letter to Ms. Marinich, again warning her if she refused to show up for work on July 1st that she would be terminated. The second point is that the allegations of the two discriminatory comments allegedly made by Ms. Rogers were indeed investigated. The record shows that there were at least six meetings that were held from the time that Ms. Marinich made the complaint. Not only were these meetings held with Ms. Marinich to find out the facts, but they were also held with her current supervisor, the manager of marketing, as well as held two meetings held with Ms. Rogers, the accused harasser. Human Resources did indeed report back to Ms. Marinich on the findings. In fact, Ms. Barbara Benchick, the manager of Human Resources, told her that they found that the comments did not constitute discrimination. And they advised her that she does need to indeed report to the new transferred position. The third point that I'd like to make is that Ms. Marinich was only terminated because of her own actions. She refused to report to her new position. This was not a situation of constructive discharge. Constructive discharge in this circuit, of course, requires something to be intolerable, even hellish. Two comments made, which even if taken as true, 2 months before a transfer, does not constitute a hellish and intolerable situation. Ms. Marinich was not meeting the expectations of the employer when she refused to report. Now, I'd like to address a question that was raised to Ms. Marinich about whether Ms. Marinich was told that her salary would remain the same. She was indeed told by Ms. Benchick, as well as other management executives, that her position, her title would remain the same, and that her salary would remain the same. What she was told, however, is that Ms. Rogers, who was a new member of this company, did not know what her skills were, but that did not matter. She still wanted her as part of her new corporate division, and she would find a position for her. As for the allegation that a younger African-American was given her position, that is untrue. Karen Pettigrew was hired as the Director of Corporate Communications. As the record will show, Ms. Pettigrew holds a salary position called PSE5. That would equate her with the same position as Thomas O'Sullivan, the Vice President of Marketing, who was Ms. Marinich's prior second supervisor. Her immediate supervisor was Gene Watt. Ms. Marinich's PSE level was PSE3, two levels
below. What does PSE stand for?
It's professional. As far as I could understand, it was a professional grade. I don't know what the S and the E stand for.
Gracious.
It also shows, the record shows, that Ms. Karen Pettigrew's job was the second in command only to Desiree Rogers, and that she was to supervise all of corporate communications, which included not only Ms. Marinich's level of advertising, but marketing as well as public relations. For these reasons and the reasons
more... What was the name of the office, the Human Services Office? What's the actual name? Affirmative Action or something else?
The title of Ms. Benchick was Manager of Affirmative Action and Employee Relations. That is basically a mid-level Human Resources Manager division.
And what's she do as Affirmative Action Manager?
As the Affirmative Action Manager, she's in charge of complying with the federal laws of affirmative action, making sure that we comply with the executive order. If there are no further questions, I do ask that this court affirm the lower court's decision on summary judgment.
I would just like to state that in testimony, John Ibach, who was the Vice President of Human Resources, testified that it was People Staff's decision to terminate me and to have it actually go through him, so it would not appear that Ms. Rogers was retaliating against me. That alone, I believe, identifies that they did work out a strategy, so it would not be identified as retaliation. In addition to that, Ms. Benchick never told me the results, and that's in the testimony. She never told me the results of the investigation. In the last meeting, they merely told me that I was to report to Ms. Rogers. That was my only choice. In the last meeting that we had, I once again asked if they can please transfer me to another area. And they refused that. I asked for a leave of absence in the last meeting. They refused that. They said my only option was to go to Ms. Rogers' area. And in addition to that, I would just like to make a statement. When I was terminated in 1997, I was 3.5 years away from my full unreduced pension. This discrimination that I experienced at my employer of 30 years, People's Gas, which led to my termination, destroyed my life that I built for more than 30 years, a successful career woman, and reduced me to pauper status, which I appeared before this court in forma pauperis, which the district court granted me. I experienced discrimination at People's Gas. I reported it, and I was punished for reporting it. But yet, after all I have suffered since my termination from People's Gas, my belief still holds true, in which I testify that I live in America and I should not have to work under the discriminatory conditions that People's Gas tried to force me to work under. And I also saw, which I just had identified, other employees suffering under this discrimination also. When district court granted summary judgment to People's Gas, it gave them the green light to continue to discriminate. And I respectfully ask the Seventh Circuit to please reverse summary judgment so that I may take this case to trial and demonstrate that discrimination is illegal and wrong for employers to practice and condone it.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement.